Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you for joining us again today as we continue our discussion about conflict resolution. We are wanting to learn how to handle conflicts in a healthy way. Let's get started now in the middle of this conversation here with part 9. Okay, let's review just briefly, all right? So remember several weeks ago, we talked about Dr. Gary Chapman's quote, "Conflicts are not a sign that you're married to the wrong person. They simply affirm that you are human." Mm-hmm. And that's so very good.
Right.
And so conflicts are essential. And we talked about identifying the conflict. That was really the focus of the first point, working to identify it, and about discussing it and determining the why. We went through, I think, 6 different whys of conflict. Why do we have them? Where are they coming from? Mm-hmm. We talked about what hinders their resolution.
Right.
And then last week we finished up, we did 2 sessions on the practical steps to get started in conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. Now let's start bringing it all together. Mm. If we had to say, how do you handle conflicts in a healthy way? Probably you could use four words. You could talk about the goal. Mm-hmm. You could talk about the essentials. Mm-hmm. You could talk about the emotion. You talk about the priority.
Okay.
Because the goal in a conflict is reconciliation.
Yes.
So in every issue you find in your marriage, every conflict you face in your marriage, in your family, in your home, on the job, every conflict is the goal of conflict is reconciliation.
Yes.
So that God teaches that all through. Jesus said, if I bring my gift to the altar and remember that my brother has aught against me, I'm to leave the gift and go try to be right with my brother. Mm. Or if I remember that I have aught against my brother.
Right.
But he also says later that if I get there and remember that my brother has aught against me, I'm also to try to make that right. The point being, no matter who's wrong, reconciliation is the goal.
Right. And I've said this before, but if all you do in going into a time of talking about conflict, if all you do is say, I just need to be heard, I need you to hear me, you are not going towards the goal of reconciliation. You are going to towards the goal of selfishness, really.
And so the goal is not to be heard.
Right.
And the goal is not to have a good fight. The goal is to reconcile. So the reason you work towards conflict resolution is that you reconcile the wrong.
Yes.
That's our goal.
Absolutely.
And of course, then we have an essential. Mm-hmm. The essential really is twofold. And we touched on this at the end of last week's session. So we're just going to briefly mention it again. The essentials are repentance and forgiveness.
Yes.
And so in a conflict resolution, we have to say, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you've never said things like this, maybe write this down. Pull over if you're driving. If you're jogging, stop and get your phone out. But think about it like this. Repentance says, I was wrong. I have no excuse. Will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sorry. The idea of that is I'm sorry, but you're acknowledging. Repentance is acknowledging the wrong.
Right.
And often, I don't know if this is true in all of your marriages or not, but often when Bethany and I have had a conflict, when it's all said and done, it's really a matter of both of us repenting.
Right.
Both of us saying, you know what, I didn't handle that right. And on the one hand, it may be, you know, I was wrong in what I said. On the other hand, it may be I was wrong in how I responded to what you said.
Yes.
And so oftentimes, and this is not abnormal, oftentimes in a conflict resolution, the repentance is on both sides and the forgiveness is on both sides.
Absolutely.
And if you do this, if you get the goal and the essentials right, then what I would often say in our couples retreats, and if you come and join us in Pigeon Forge, you may hear this, the most exciting outcome of that is that, and I would say you can make out.
In marriage,
you can make out. And you can also make up. This is, as you make up, then it is a very positive part. There's emotions involved in conflict resolution, and these are big.
They are.
The Bible acknowledges anger, right? Because he says, how's that in Proverbs? We quoted it a few weeks ago. A soft answer turns away wrath.
Yes.
Ephesians says, be angry and sin not. Wasn't it Phyllis Diller who said, because he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Mm-hmm. And the comedian Phyllis Diller said, why go to bed angry when you can stay up and fight? And those are funny words. But the point is that when it comes to our emotions, here's what God wants you to think. When it comes to your emotions, they should be without sin.
That's
without
so
sin.
hard.
And so when my emotions lead me to sin, they lead me to be harsh.
Right.
They lead me to be angry. They lead me to raise my voice. They lead me to, you know, to ream somebody out, or worse, cuss somebody out. Mm. When emotions lead me to sin, then every single time I'm wrong. Emotions are good.
Yes.
We're not opposed to emotions. In fact, God's not opposed to emotions. Part of being created in the image of God is that we have thinking and we have emotions and we have will. We have a free will. And so the emotions are essential. He says, be angry and sin not. Don't let your emotions lead you to sin.
Right.
And if you've never learned to control your emotions, if you've never learned to have a handle on your emotions, the Bible says, for instance, I just read this recently, I think yesterday I was reading in Proverbs, and the Bible says that a man who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
Right.
In other words, if my emotions rule my life, then I have no protection from the enemy.
Right.
Which is why some of you have so much conflict, because you have not yet learned how to handle your emotions. Mm-hmm. Selfishness is an emotion.
Yes.
Anger is an emotion.
Yes.
And they go on and on. There's a ton of our emotions that we deal with. Mm-hmm. And if you let your emotions cause you to blow up, to run people over, to let it all out, to draw attention to your selfishness, then you have a real problem. Would you add anything to those?
I would just say, ladies, sometimes we can pride ourselves and say, you know, I'm not going to be unspiritual about this. I am just going to be very burdened. And so we carry that burden around with us. And the Bible tells us that we don't have to carry our burdens. We can cast them on the Lord. And certainly in this area of conflict resolution with our husbands, we can talk it out and let it go. Instead of walking around burdened all the time, just let it go.
I hadn't thought of that side of the emotion, but that's true, isn't it?
And, yes.
And there's guys that are that way too. There's some, some of you guys are more moody. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, your moodiness often is an emotion that leads to sin. Mm-hmm. You're rude to people. You ignore people.
Right.
You mistreat people. Mm-hmm. And so the point here being that the goal, we're kind of sum it up, is reconciliation. The essentials are repentance and forgiveness. The emotion is to be without sin. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the priority, because this one is so big, we need to talk about it again. The priority is to listen patiently. Mm. And let's go one more angle on this. We've already talked some in these series about listening, but let's talk about addressing the perception of our spouse, because we didn't park on that. Part of the point of listening is that it's an opportunity for me to understand your perception.
Right.
And so many times, and this really shows up in a conflict between men and women, husbands and wives, because we often have vastly different perceptions of the same problem.
True.
And I always think of your Mark Twain quote, something about the idea that communication, how does it go? I can't remember it now.
Yes, I can't. Yeah. Well, I don't know that it was Mark Twain that said it, but it could have been that the most misunderstood thing is that communication has actually taken place. And I'm totally misquoting that.
We didn't have that in the notes, but that always think of that, because so many times we have a discussion over an issue.
Yes.
And when it's all said and done, I have no idea what you thought. You have no idea what I thought. The conflict is not resolved.
Right.
So listening patiently is a matter of coming to a place where we can acknowledge the perception.
Yes.
So that I would say this, and listen to me very carefully, because this is huge. Your spouse's perception is valid, even if they are wrong in the details. Mm. That sounds almost, in some ways, somebody's like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But it does make sense, because your spouse is going to perceive things, and maybe you did not mean it at all the way they received it.
Right.
Maybe your motives were as pure as possible to be.
Absolutely.
But if your spouse perceived it as a problem, then I will tell you that your spouse's perception is valid. And to solve the conflict, you have to address your spouse's perception as much as the problem itself.
Right.
Right.
And this can be where husbands and wives can go round and round and round, because she sees it from her feminine standpoint and he sees it from his male standpoint. And instead of both of them stopping and saying, well, I can see why you would think that, or even saying, you know what, it never occurred to me that you would perceive it that way. Instead of doing that, we just keep going round and round and round. No, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear what I said. And then the conflict just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I would say that the two big words in that phrase or sentence is acknowledge and perception.
Absolutely. Acknowledge and perception.
There is a perception and you need to acknowledge it. Yeah,
and you know, sometimes people buckle down on this. Mm. And like I have a friend and for the longest time, the thing that I would notice is in any kind of a conflict resolution, he would buckle down and say, no, I'm right. Mm. And I am not. They are wrong. So why should I acknowledge? Because they are wrong, because that is not what happened. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying to you is that in a conflict resolution, God designed us all so differently. Men and women, for instance, will always see things differently. It's very normal. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing in this perception idea is we're suggesting that what you've got to do is you've got to understand that we perceive things differently, and the priority of a conflict resolution is to listen patiently so you can understand the perception, acknowledge the perception, and deal with the perception.
Right.
So that, wives, here's what you got to do. You've got to make an attempt to see how your husband is thinking and why. Mm-hmm. And husbands, you've got to make a massive attempt. In fact, it may be a little more weighted on the husband's side. But husbands, you've got to make a massive attempt to see how your wife is thinking and why she's thinking that way.
Right.
And that's about perception. Mm-hmm. So you acknowledge that. In fact, I used to write it in our notes, and I've taught it many times, and I don't have it here in front of me, but I would write it out. This is something you could say. You could say, I understand how you see that. Mm-hmm. I understand why you feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. And then as a husband, I used to tell men, what you've got to say to your wife is, I understand that I made you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to one of my friends would say, I didn't do that. Mm. But that's your perception. So I have to acknowledge it. I understand that you feel that way and that I made you feel that way. And will you forgive me for making you feel that way?
Right.
And here's a story. Some of you have probably heard us tell it, but my wife and I had a disagreement over something months ago. And
it was years ago now, actually.
And we just could not come to the end of it. Mm-hmm. And we were not practicing what we're teaching you. And we just, I don't know if it was busy or just stubbornness or frustrations. I don't know, but we just weren't coming to the end of it. Well, I had my notes on my desk here in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then I had those very things listed about perceptions. And we just had come to a place where we kind of was like, okay, we're not getting anywhere. So let's just put it off for right now and come back to it later.
Right.
And so sometime, I don't know, an hour or so later, I came back to my desk. And when I came back to my desk, my notes were there about this perception thing. And my wife had circled that section of the notes and put arrows. And we look back at, you know, at the time I was like, really? Seriously? And yet she was right, because I teach these things and I know that this is how we're supposed to handle them. Mm-hmm. So you acknowledge the perception. You seek to understand the perception. You've just been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's conversation was about conflict resolution, and we have one more yet to go in this particular series, and we hope you'll join us next time as we conclude with part 10. In the meantime, have a great week ahead, and remember, always, always serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.